And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
So you ready, bro? You ready?
Yeah, you're doing intro this time, yeah?
You know what's so crazy? Like, we don't have any list at all. Like, no topics. You low-key just wanted to hop on the podcast because the Raptors beat the Rockets last night.
Nah, come on, man. You know that's not the only reason why.
You know, that's really the only reason why.
No, it's not, though. But
as a fact, you didn't even ask me, like, yo, man, Lo, where's the topics at, man? What's going on? What are we going to talk about? You know exactly what you're about to talk about today.
No, I'm fully prepared to talk about a whole variety of subjects. Definitely.
Sure. All right, yo. What up, podcast people? It's the one and only legend of winning, a.k.a. Lo. I'm here with my co-host, the sidekick, Agent Zero.
The main character himself. How y'all doing today, man?
No, matter of fact, yo, shout out to the Almighty Baller Podcast Network for hooking us up. Shout out to all the people out there showing us love on a consistent basis. Make sure you rate us 5 stars or whatever platform you're on. Make sure you rate us and keep spreading the word. Me and Agent have decided, and we're going to keep reminding you all this because I see a lot of people consistently asking me when we're going to upload a podcast. Sunday is going to be one of them. It's always going to be on Sunday, I believe. And then Wednesday or Thursday, somewhere in the middle of the week is where we're also going to upload our second one. So at the beginning of the week on Sunday and the middle of the week on Wednesday and Thursday. But with all that being said, bro, what's up, Agent? What's up with you, bro?
Jeez, hey, man. You're tempting me, bro. But I'm prepared to talk about a whole variety of topics. Trust me. But
you're not, though.
But no, we know what happened though, right? Did you watch it, Lo? Did you watch it happen?
All right, bro, let's go ahead and get this out the way. I'm gonna put some air horn effects. I'm gonna put, you know, Drake in the background speaking to Toronto, talking about how they're gonna break the winning streak of the Houston Rockets. So for people out there wondering, we are recording this the day after the Rockets lost to the Raptors, and a lot of people on Twitter going a little crazy. I think now people are taking them a little bit more serious. Charles Barkley on one of the, he's now on the forefather of the bandwagon club. You know, everybody jumping on that bandwagon now. And, he predicted that they're going to make the finals. And I know Agent how he feels, but you know, Agent, I was going to spit a little stuff. But I'm going to let you get your stuff off real quick. Go ahead, man.
Oh, man, you're such a great guy.
Nah, man. Get your stuff off, bro. I'm going to put the air horns in the back and all that, bro. Go ahead and get your stuff off,
man. All right, man. Yeah, I'm excited, man. Because I told y'all it was going to happen. Now, it's crazy, Lo. If you watch the game, Raptors were leading big. It was like 19 at half. And then slowly it started to deteriorate. And where they would usually, in previous years, find ways to lose the lead and then choke at the very end, is they kept it together. And what the phenomenal thing was, is outside of DeRozan's incredibly contested shot late, they had players like Fred Van Fleet out there and Norman Powell, which I think if you're watching games, you're probably used to seeing him out there at the end of games for defensive purposes. And so it was just really dope to see guys who you would assume like 60, 70% of NBA fans don't know about, Lo. Like, who's Fred Van Fleet? You know, Raptors, you know the Raptors-Houston game wasn't put on national television? So, Raptors aren't on TV a lot. So, a lot of people don't get a chance to see him play unless, of course, they just watch streams online. It was just a phenomenal game in general. It was high-octane action. James Harden was showing why he's going to be MVP this year. He was balling out of his mind. Eric Gordon made a couple clutch shots late. But at the end of the day, man, Lowry was on fire, 7-for-9 from three, and the Raptors ended up closing it out, ending Houston's 17-game win streak. But more importantly, maybe starting a streak of their own in beating some of the more dominant teams in the NBA. And I've been trying to tell people it's not like a 1-2 thing. I put a tweet out. People's immediate response, Lo, I'm pretty sure people said this to you too, was, oh, it's only going to be a regular season thing. Which is probably the most frustrating response because it immediately tells you that they don't ever watch an actual basketball team. They just read headlines and make assumptions based on previous events. And so what you're saying when you say something like that is no team that's never did well will never ever do well in the future. You're disregarding any of the improvements they may have made in the offseason, any chemistry issues, any changes to the offense, any improvements to players like DeRozan being able to shoot from three now. And you're just saying none of that matters because I've already built a story for this team. And the story is that this team consistently loses in the playoffs. 2 years ago, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Last year, made it to the second round. Really, it's whenever they meet the Cavs, they lose. And that's been the story for the East for as long as I can remember. But it's not going to be the story this year because everything has changed. And there's a lot of people who are refusing to realize that. And I don't know if they're Cavs fans or just they're just not informed. Or you're allowed to have different opinions, but if you don't see him as a threat now, I don't know what will change your opinion. They beat Golden State. Oh, it's just a regular season team. They always coming up for excuses. Lo, somebody responded to me in my mentions, and he literally said, but that's not fair because Houston played 3 games in 4 nights. And like a few guys liked the comment. And I was like, the Raptors played 3 games in 4 nights as well. Like, when are we going to stop with the excuses? Like, it's very clear this team is serious this year. And you're going to take him serious. And it's going to take them going to the playoffs and making some noise to make some people realize. But the smart people have already realized it. And it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I'll say this. The one thing that... Oh, first, let me get on the game. One of the better games in the NBA over the last, I would say, 6 months, 8 months. Basically, over the since the beginning of the season. I'm trying to figure out if there... I don't want to miss out on a game that that happened early in the season, but it's definitely one of the better games so far in the regular season. So if you missed out on it, like Agent said, unfortunately, it's obvious because of financial reasons. The Toronto, they are intercontinental. You know, am I using that right?
No, international.
international. I don't know why I say intercontinental. Like it's a title belt with WWF, but it's in Canada, so. You know, financially, it's much harder to, you know, go out there, get the camera crew, all that other stuff.
It's not, though. So,
It is. I looked it up. It is. But it's not ridiculous. It's not a ridiculous amount of money. However, I will say this. It's not like Toronto was one of the teams that kind of just are surprising people now. This has been like a slow build to where we are right now. So it's not like the idea of having a Toronto and Houston game on national TV would have been ridiculous even in the beginning of the season. So I am a little bit concerned about that. And I think that's a huge reason why people aren't aware of what the Raptors are doing, because they're winning games. They're playing great basketball. Back to the game, because I don't want to forget what I want to say. Great game. Like you said, Harden played really well. There was a few things that I picked up from Harden that still concern me in the postseason. One of the biggest things are when he's driving down the lane or he's trying to get those foul calls that we all know that he loves to get. There was a few times where, because the Raptors are such a disciplined defensive team, he wasn't getting those calls. So if you're a Houston fan, you have to be a little concerned about that.
He was forcing the calls. I don't know if you saw one of the plays near the end of the game.
But he forces the calls all the time. Like
he literally grabbed DeRozan's hands, hooked him.
Which was the craziest thing. He like stiffed. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He stiff-armed him from behind. He had already beat DeRozan. And literally he's like stiff-arming him. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Grabbing him and then
Side note though, the amount of times DeRozan just getting walked by every time Harden. It was crazy. It was just really clear that DeRozan was a subpar defender watching that game. And Harden was doing a phenomenal job. I wouldn't even put any blame on Harden, to be honest, because Chris Paul did the turnover late. It just felt like Harden was trying to do everything to bring him back. Him and Eric Gordon, really. What did he do wrong? I didn't see him do anything. They were getting foul calls. I think they got double the free throw attempts the Raptors got that game. Like, they were getting to the line. Yeah, but
there was moments down the stretch where it was like, I see what makes Harden... I see why his game doesn't translate to the postseason. Because when you're in the postseason, you're against, like I said, defenses that are much more disciplined, and they're going to understand your schemes and how you get in the lane And there was a few times where even Valanciunas was very sound defensively, went up vertically, didn't draw the foul, and he just turned the ball over. Matter of fact, towards the end, which in my opinion was actually a good play for DeMar DeRozan defensively, where he kind of got Harden in the rough spot, and Harden picked up his dribble and tried to do the bounce pass to Clint Capella on the baseline. And Valanciunas was in a perfect position not only to help with some rim protection, but also played in passing lanes that he always, I mean, James Harden does that pass to Capella majority of the time, and that actually sealed the game. So defensively, that's the one thing I liked about y'all. Y'all were completely sound, and y'all knew what y'all needed to do. DeMar DeRozan down the stretch and Kyle Lowry down the stretch were amazing. They had great games. How frequently are we going to see that in the postseason, especially from Kyle Lowry? I'm not 100% sure, but the one thing that I still liked about the team was that everyone else was able to come together and have very, very meaningful possessions down the stretch after they were kind of losing their grip on the lead that they had gained during the first 2 to 3 quarters. And what's even crazy is that no one really on the team played that well offensively. Like Ibaka,
he had 11 points. But outside of Lowry.
Outside of Lowry and DeMar, it's not like the rest of the unit played so phenomenally. Like, it's not like you got like 15 or 20 points from anyone else. Valanciunas played solid. He had 14 and 10. But Ibaka was like 1 for 5 from behind the arc. Norman Powell was 0 for 5 from behind the arc, 1 for 6 from the field. Fred VanVleet came off the bench and gave you all some points, but he was vastly inefficient. It was really just defense, like defense down the stretch that was able to contain the Houston Rockets. And so that's one thing. Another thing back on the Rockets, Chris Paul is not the same defender
that he once was. Come on, don't go that far, man. You're wild.
No. I'm not even trying to. It's not really me knocking him, because I mean, at this stage of his career, he's not going to be the same defender. But it's something that is becoming more concerning, because if he's not the same defender, it's going to be a problem with him trying to guard some players in the postseason, because you always just known for him to have an elite level defense. I don't even think he should make an all defensive team this year. I saw that kind of going around Twitter as well last night, but that was also another concern for me. And another huge concern for the Rockets, if they're not knocking down their threes, and this is pretty obvious, but if they're not making their threes, then they're at a pretty huge disadvantage, and that's a huge reason why they're playing catch up. Tucker 0 for 2, Trevor Ariza 0 for 3, Chris Paul 0 for 3, all from behind the arc. And when you put yourself in that type of disadvantage, it's going to be hard. But I thought it was a very good game, and I think more specifically DeMar over the last few games, he's been playing really well in the fourth quarter. Like, really, really well.
He always plays really well in the fourth quarter, man.
That Piston game, bro, he was looking crazy in the fourth quarter, bro.
Like, that was different. If you guys missed the Pistons versus Raptors game, of any game this season, I recommend you watch it, not because it was hilariously intense, but there was one possession where there was 3 jump balls. There was a turnover here, an air ball here. It was an absolute disaster, and it went on for like 3 to 4 minutes in overtime. It was probably the most hilarious last few minutes in the fourth quarter and overtime in a while. But I think everybody was messing up on both sides that game. It was just hilarious to see. The whole chat was going wild when I was watching it. But I wouldn't make any judgments based off that. But yeah, DeRozan's been playing well. That reckless shot he took from mid-range, fading like he was Kobe against the Rockets late, I was like, DeRozan, it was crazy, but he hit it, and I was like, damn, all right, man, you can't be mad if he hit the shot. Fred VanVleet was in the corner once again, making things happen. I know he didn't shoot efficiently looking at the paper, but he was consistently penetrating and creating opportunities for other people. And there was one point where he was so confident, he just decided to do like a double clutch and throw the ball up, and he got denied late in the paint and fell on his ass. But yeah, it was a phenomenal game. Shout out to the Houston Rockets. Honestly, I was hoping that their win streak just went on and went on. I was hoping like they broke some sort of record. I thought it would have been dope. But against my Toronto Raptors, man, it's just so unfortunate, man, that they had to stop y'all, man. The way the standings are right now in the season, man, the Cavs are 10 games back from the Toronto Raptors. It's not even close anymore. There's first, there's second, there's Toronto, there's Boston, and then there's a huge drop-off. And the same goes for the West. There's Houston and Golden State. Then there's an insane drop-off. And just like we talked about in the last podcast, Portland and New Orleans somehow still maintaining, and Portland with a damn 9-game winning streak, which I think is leading the league right now since Houston lost. Yeah.
Y'all are right behind them, right? Like seven.
Yeah, eight. We have seven. They got nine. So
yeah. Let's not. I mean, I'm not done talking about the Toronto Raptors, man.
Because you said something crazy on Twitter, Lo.
Yeah. Let's keep this going real quick. I'm not done. I'm not done because, you know, I think I don't want to overreact to the Cavs right now, right? Because obviously the Cavs are not a regular season team, especially when you have LeBron on the roster and Kevin Love has still missed games. He's still not there. They've added new pieces. It's an exciting team. I mean, I like what they've done with that roster, and they have the depth in the players. And when you have a player like LeBron on your roster, it's kind of hard to count against him. So let me be very, very clear about what I'm saying here, that I thoroughly understand what's going on in Cleveland and the competition that they have, but let's keep it a buck. The Raptors are by far the best team in the Eastern Conference as we record this video, or as we record this podcast on March 10th. They are by far the best team in the East. For the people out there who saying the Boston Celtics, they're not getting Gordon Hayward back. I don't trust Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in a postseason just yet. And if your second best player is Al Horford, no knock on Al Horford, but he shouldn't be your second best player. I think that's a problem. Kyrie's amazing, but there's only so much that he can do as an individual.
And I believe it's Jaylen Brown. Got that injury. I think he's gonna be all right. He looked like he walked.
Oh yeah, the court. Jaylen Brown. Well, I don't think he's gonna be out for the postseason. I think they said it was a concussion. So I don't think he's gonna be out for the postseason.
Yeah, he should be back.
But he's gonna be back. But still, that team. It's a really good team, very well coached, but just not good enough to really compete with the Raptors or the Cavs. Which means that if the standings stay the way they are right now, which more likely they are, or at least with the top three teams, because like you said, Cleveland is 10 games behind Toronto,
is crazy, by the way, 10. Oh,
they're 7.5 or 8 games behind Boston. So more than likely they're going to finish with the third seed. Boston's going to finish second, Toronto first, which means that Toronto will go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Because
no, that means Toronto's going to face Cleveland in the second round, which should be an interesting matchup.
No. Cleveland has the third seed. The second round, Cleveland will match Boston in the second round. The Raptors are going to face
the fourth. Oh, we play 4 and 5 in the second round.
Four and five. So I think out of the 4 and 5 right now, which I believe will kind of stay packed, maybe we'll see Philly kind of bump up a little bit. But
I think it's impossible to predict.
But really what I'm saying is between 4 through 8, I don't see a team that's going to compete with Toronto. And that's basically who Toronto has to face in the first two rounds.
Well, I have a question, Lo. What's the chances Cleveland drops lower? They're only half a game ahead of Washington and Indiana. And I know people are saying LeBron's not trying and or they'll get over it eventually, because in past years they've managed to get over the hump and perform in the playoffs. But unlike past years, not only do they not have Kyrie Irving, they traded away Channing Frye, who, if you've been paying attention to the Cavaliers in the playoffs, he was monumental in the last couple years, especially against my Raptors. Dude was like shooting, it was insane percentages in the 60s from the three-point line. And so I think they don't have the same scoring threat from three that they did in the past. You could add additions, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood's is an all right shooter. But they won't have those elite-level closing shooters that you can count on no matter what anymore. And for a team that is in top 5 in three-point attempts, they rely on that efficiency to come back in games and to be victorious. Like, the reason the Houston Rockets came back against Toronto was because they went on a streak and knocked down like 4 or 5 threes in a row. And I think one was an and one, too. And so without that same threat there, I just don't know if they have the same firepower to keep up with, even if they route the East, to keep up with any of the teams in that are going to make it to the finals in the West. I just don't see it. And so while everybody, I know the Cavaliers and their fans and a lot of the guys in the media are just dismissing the woes, like it's no real big deal. But in the past, they would have issues in January, and then February, March, they would fix things up. Then in the playoffs, they would turn things up to another level. But they have different personnel now. And on top of that, you can make the case that LeBron is also getting older and what kind of impact that has on him. And on top of that, Lo, a point that not a lot of people talk about is LeBron usually gets a ton of rest in the playoffs because they route the first round 4-0, sit down for a week. They route the second round like 4-0, maybe 4-1. They get a week off, and then they go into the Eastern Conference Finals, whether they win in 5 games or 6 games or 4 games. They usually get a decent amount of break before they get to the finals, and in the Western Conference, it's a whole new story. Now with the Curry injury, you can make a case that there's going to be longer series, especially maybe even the Western Conference Finals, and so LeBron gets an opportunity for more rest, and I don't think that's ever brought into the equation when it comes to how consistently they've been able to perform. If the Cleveland Cavaliers have to face more competition in the East or teams that have gotten better, it's not going to be the same story. People always pretending like just because it's happened in the past that it's bound to happen again. But if that was the case, then the same team would continue to win every single year. Teams get better, teams get worse. And this year, it's clear that Boston and Toronto have managed to get a lot better and improve on a lot of their deficiencies. And Cleveland, although they've made the trades that on paper should be able to make them adjust and improve, haven't built that chemistry. So I'm just saying the chemistry might be there next month. It might click in the playoffs, but it's not there yet. And I think it's crazy that people are dismissing that just because they always make the finals. Like even Jordan didn't always make the finals, right? But I'm sure at the time people were dismissing, oh man, just Jordan, he's gonna find a way. But it's not inevitable is what I'm trying to say. Yo, I'm just low. You know how excited I am for the playoffs? Because regardless of what anybody says, people will ignore stats and they'll really just wait for the playoffs to see a huge upset. And then they'll go, nah, but see, the Raptors still did this last year. The Celtics did that last year. And they're going to come with the load of excuses. Whatever the excuses are, they got the whole bookload of why their team didn't succeed. Also, I don't know. I just think the East is a very interesting picture. The teams you thought would do well, like Milwaukee, they lost 6 of their last 8. They're not performing too well right now. You got teams like Philadelphia going higher. Who knew Indiana was going to be in the playoff race? So there's a lot of unpredictability, man. People need to stop pretending like they know everything. It's crazy.
Well, I'll say this. To answer the first question you had about Cleveland kind of finishing possibly 4th, I don't think that's going to happen just because they still don't have Kevin Love. And even though, yes, LeBron may be pacing himself or he may not be caring as much, which I don't think is the case this year. I don't think a player who's played all the games in the regular season so far, I don't think a player who's setting career highs in certain categories and statistically is arguably having his best year, I don't think that player doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think that player is coasting.
I don't think that's a good reason, Lo. Like John Wall is not there for the Wizards. You could make a case John Wall is a more important player than Love. A lot of people are saying when Love comes back, it's going to change. But Wall has been out for like the last few weeks, man. It's been.
But I think that's different because I think the dynamic between John Wall and his team isn't such a lasting impact on the Cavaliers and Kevin Love. I agree that John Wall is a more important player, but the ceiling for the Wizards with John Wall on their team still isn't higher of a ceiling with the Cavaliers with Kevin Love on their roster.
I think that's the difference. I disagree, but especially with the improvements of Beal this year, you want to talk about
I don't think those improvements would happen if John Wall would have stayed on that team.
I know, but it's like that all the time. Somebody gets injured, one guy gets a chance, he improves or he proves that he deserves to be there.
We may not even see that same Bradley Beal once John Wall gets back because the way they run their offense. Bradley Beal may not get the same.
He might not get as much volume of shots, but he's always been an efficient shooter this year.
Yeah, I just look at Cleveland and I don't see them losing the third seed. I don't really see them slipping any further than the third seed because once you start to slip to the third seed, especially in the Eastern Conference and how closely the teams are when it comes to their record. you could find yourself at the sixth or seventh seed by the end of the regular season. So I can't see that, but I don't know, man. Like I've called it on Twitter, and I'm gonna say it here on the podcast. Right now, I think the Raptors could beat the Cavaliers in a 5-game series. In a 7-game series.
I would say you got some new rules, my guy. You know what's crazy, Lo? I saw your tweet, man. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm willing to go that far. Because here's the thing. You never know if the chemistry is going to be there for the Thunder or for the Cavaliers. Because it could click and they could go on a streak and it might happen at the right time. Right now I'm 50-50.
But those streaks don't really happen in the postseason. Those streaks happen during the regular season.
They happen in the postseason, bro.
No. I mean, let me rephrase that. Those streaks normally don't start in the postseason. Those streaks normally start in the regular season and they carry themselves on in the postseason. I don't see them catching on fire towards I don't even see them catching on fire at the end of the season, let alone in the first or second round, and then that kind of just carries on to Toronto. Now, again, I could be wrong, but I look at Toronto, I look at their depth, I look at the players that they have on their roster, I look at the defense that they consistently display, the rotations, that everyone is on the same page. I think people fail to realize that. Yeah, I understand that. Like you said, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry struggled in the past, and they've had their problems. I don't understand how they cannot overcome those problems and just become better players and a better team. When people refer about the stuff that happened with like Washington and stuff like that, man, it happened 3 to 4 years ago, man. DeMar DeRozan was 24, 25. Valanciunas was 22. That was a while ago. Like it wasn't the fact that people are still clinging on to certain things like that when they lost to the Brooklyn Nets and Washington and Dwayne Casey, I think it was like in his second or third year as a head coach. Like we're now at a point, Masai wasn't even the general manager. We're now at a point where it's just a different team. Defensively, they were one of the worst defensive teams, in 2015. Here we are now, several years down the line, where they're consistently been one of the top 11 to 10 teams on the defensive end. This year, they're finishing top 5 in both offense and defense right now, 3rd in offensive rating, 4th on the defensive end. It's just a different team. Like, it's a different team. These are not the same players. DeMar DeRozan's in his prime. Serge Ibaka has made the addition to the roster. And Valanciunas has become better. OG Anunoby, who low-key... even though he's not going to win Rookie of the Year, obviously, his impact on the team is just as important as some of the, I'm not going to say like a Ben Simmons or even, I wouldn't even say even Alonzo Ball, but for his selection, and I understand because of his past injuries, but his impact on that team is very important on a defensive end. When you have a group of players like that, that are that dynamic on a defensive end, and offensively they're extremely sound, the ball movement is great this year, top 10 in assists. I don't know why people are trying to compare apple and oranges just because they bought them at Kroger's. Like I don't get that.
I don't get the bias, because when you see teams like the Bucks that are up and coming, and really the only thing up and coming about them is the fact that they have Giannis, right? I mean, aside from that, like they fire their
which is true.
Teams like the Bucks get a lot of respect around the league because they're up and coming or they've improved. Of course, Boston has been a staple in basketball for as long as basketball goes, and so they get that level of respect. But there's some teams in the NBA that just don't get it. Like the Raptors will, if they make the finals, Low, people's response could be, they still lost. Who cares? They still lost. They got lucky. Or if there's even an injury to someone in the top 10 in the rotation, it's going to be this guy. Well, yeah, Kyle Korver was injured. What are the Cavs going to do? Like, really? Is that how far we're going to go? I find that absolutely insane, man. I got to the point as a Raptor fan, man, where I just realized there's no point, man, in trying to convince people that don't watch the games that this team is real. People say, but you guys say that every year. And I'm like, yeah, because they've made improvements every single year. That's how a good managed basketball team works, man. They've made improvements, and then based on the improvements, you can make assumptions on how far they're going to go, right? And then I don't think anybody said they were going to make the finals and win everything, unless they're, of course, they were a biased Raptor fan in years past. Even this year, you can't make a case they're going to win everything. I mean, they're probably going to get stomped by Houston and or if Golden State is fully healthy in the finals. But if you can't see him making out the East in any stretch of the imagination, man, there might be something up with the way that you're crazy. Thinking
that's,
about things.
That's the thing that really frustrates me. I'm going to low-key just wrap this up because we're 30 minutes in the podcast. We still talking about the Raptors. But yeah, I agree. And I like if we're still going to look at previous seasons and postseason performances to base our judgment on where this team is at right now, then by that case, I don't need to hear any argument for why the Houston Rockets stand a chance to beat the Golden State Warriors. Because by that logic, I haven't seen James Harden yet have a postseason run thorough enough in every single round to where I can make an argument to why he should be in any conversation to be on a roster that can compete with the Golden State Warriors. I can't see that.
What's up? It's Justin from the Driving Dish NBA podcast. When I was in eighth grade, I switched from wearing glasses to contacts because I liked playing the game of basketball. And ever since then, I've had to deal with getting contacts, which takes way too long. You have to sit in the waiting room for a really long time. It always kind of smells weird in there. That all changed when I found SimpleContacts.com. You show them a picture of your prescription. You pick the brand of contacts that you use. You put in your address and they're on their way. And so much cheaper than going to a doctor every single time you need contacts. Took me about 15 minutes right before I left for work, and we're going to save you $30 off your first order with them at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or use the enter code almighty at checkout. That's $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or enter the code almighty at checkout. Just remember, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only do a test that makes sure your contacts are going to give you 20/20 vision. They don't write completely new RXs or examine eye health.
Yep. Anyway, it was an exciting game. Recommend to go back and watch it. Anytime top teams play, I feel like you should tune in. And maybe just one last thing. If you're a OKC Thunder fan, you're going to see this year exactly why it was so frustrating to watch the Raptors last year. There's still a lot. There's not enough ball movement on the team. There's a lot of inefficiencies from some of the main players, especially shooting from three. But more than anything, OKC fans are going to quickly realize that when Westbrook is double teamed, when Paul George is double teamed, they penetrate and they kick it to the open Patrick Patterson. He's going to miss the shot. He has a horrible open 3-point field goal percentage. And so it's just that. Now they have CJ Miles makes the shots, and Fred VanVleet's hitting shots. Even DeLon Wright's gotten better this year. So teams with garbage, is the word garbage too harsh? Teams with bad role players inevitably fail due to a lack of depth, because once the focus is shined on the star players on the team, somebody else has to step up. And if there's no Patrick Patterson shooting threes, OKC fans are going to quickly realize the double team will stay on Westbrook, and it will make his life very, very challenging in the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know why they assumed that he was going to be some lights out shooter, knowing what he was doing last year. But anyway, that's besides the point.
A lot has happened
in the NBA. I don't even know where to go from here, man. I feel like there's a million topics.
I was actually going to transition real quick to the West because you brought up the OKC, and we didn't really got to talk about this. It's just very interesting. Probably the biggest surprise so far, positive surprise so far this season, is the Western Conference playoffs and how competitive it is all the way
is
down.
Is it competitive, though?
I would say outside of the top two seeds, everybody else. I mean, we're talking about all the way to the 10th seed and the 8th, 9th, and 10th seed, which are the Clippers, Nuggets, and Utah Jazz, as I record this podcast, in that order as well. The Clippers are actually in the playoffs. They actually have the tiebreaker against the Nuggets right now.
It's safe to say the Jazz are going to make it in. So is somebody...
I was just about to say, the surprise may be that the Jazz might actually make the playoffs. And not only are they going to make the playoffs, or they could, excuse me, that they would have a better record than the Philadelphia 76ers. And the only reason why I'm picking on the Philadelphia 76ers is because Ben Simmons is on that team. I keep seeing people on Twitter saying, like, it's a lock that Ben Simmons should win the Rookie of the Year, because his team has the potential to be the 6th seed. Right now, they also have the potential to be the 8th seed. If the if the Philadelphia 76ers, they sneeze too hard and they make a turnover at a pivotal time, they can drop from 6th to 8th. And the same thing can be said about the Utah Jazz. So I'm pointing it out, one, because the Western Conference is really, really competitive from 3rd to 8th. And I love the fact that there's so many teams, despite the fact that some of them are dealing with injuries or they just don't have the amount of talent that is needed to really compete, they're still going out there and competing on a night-to-night basis. And man, Damian Lillard is leading his team, and they have 40 wins already. That's crazy.
You know, teams are clinching playoff spots already in the East. The Raptors and the Celtics already got a spot. Since there's teams kicked out, Sacramento, Dallas, Phoenix. Memphis happened to be on a 16-game losing streak. Jeez. And there's teams being... It's only 20 games left, man. I don't know what it is about the NBA season, man.
Is Marc Gasol...
Garbage.
I don't want to...
Go ahead, say it, though.
The fact that Marc Gasol, a player that many people... And maybe I kind of let up on Marc Gasol, too, myself, because I didn't really... I still viewed him as one of the better players in the NBA. You know, I was like, all right, you know, 7-1 defensive guy. He's changing his offense last year, nearly gave you 20 points, you know. He trashed. Like, out of nowhere, like, how are you this bad? Like, I understand that the roster has changed a little bit and there's not that much talent around you.
The coach was fired, too. Supposedly because of him.
But the fact that, you've become a worse shooter, like efficient-wise, like you're not even... Marc Gasol is shooting 41 to 42% from the field right now.
He's been shooting worse every year of his career. it's a fantastic...
I somewhat give that a pass over the last 2 years. Or really last year because he started to shoot more threes. So I give that a pass. But this year, it makes no sense for you to be this bad. And Marc Gasol is not even a good enough player to be one of those players that are putting up good numbers on a bad team. You're not even that type of player. You're just a player that's not like really doing nothing.
I think he's a 79 overall now, Lo. Jeez. He's fell off.
But that's a pretty harsh fall off. Like he was an all-star last year. And like not only is he, I think he was all defensive player last year as well, if I'm not mistaken. No, he wasn't. Take that back. He wasn't. But he was an all-star last year. And the fact that he fell so far is ridiculous.
You can assume coach probably had to talk about how they need to start losing games. Because, I mean, no team goes on a 16-game losing streak in the NBA. You can win at least one of those just on pure luck. Just that day you seem to be hitting all your shots. And so it could be one of the cases like Chicago where the guys who are helping the team win aren't getting enough minutes. But it's not the case because he's getting a decent amount of minutes, man. He goes an average between like 32 or 33 per game. It's just really weird because to start the season, there was the whole issue about the rumors that Marc Gasol helped get the coach fired. And then they were like, how is the coach the problem? I feel like the problem is everything around the coach. And then now you look at the team play, he's not only shooting inefficiently. I'm looking at some of his stats. This hurts to look at.
It does. It hurts to look at, yes.
He's a good defensive player, and a lot of that doesn't show up statistically. So he has value. It's not that he's a 60 overall, but I think he's a 79 now, and I wouldn't even place him as a star, let alone an all-star. And yeah, you're right. That is a significant drop-off.
$24 million next year he's making. That's and the year after that, crazy. $25 million.
Jesus. Oh my God.
And for people out there who are going to hit me up on Twitter like, oh, it's a player option. He's taking that player option.
Yeah. Are you sure he's not going to get a better offer, Lo?
I can't remember who we're talking about, but someone hit me up on Twitter like, oh my God, that last year, he's not really on Bucks. He's not really on the Bucks. He has an option. And I'm like, it's a player option. Bro, he taking that money. Like, I don't know why you think that he's not going to take that money. Marc Gasol taking that money, man.
Yeah, and Mike Conley's getting paid a little bit more than that, but about... Actually, he's getting paid a lot more than that, if I'm not mistaken.
No, 30, I think it's like $30 million, like $5-7 million.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm looking right now. Yeah, it goes up every year. It's back 28, 30, 32, 34. Jeez! That team was... What were they thinking during free agency, man? I guess you want to keep the team together. There's some areas like Memphis, I sympathize, as a guy from Toronto, that like it's challenging sometimes to get people to your city. And just to keep a core team. But I assume that paying this amount of money, they assume this is like a team that could build off of. And I'm sure they tried to do that forever now, though. They've had the same core for a while, you know, no longer Zebo, but, I mean, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, and then they try and fit in the pieces and get the right guys, and they pay crazy money to players. Like, didn't Chandler Parsons get, like, a ridiculous contract with them? So, I guess this is just a case of a... I don't know if it's a poorly managed team or they just can't catch a break, but one of the two is happening. And and because of that, they have very little flexibility in the future, and they don't necessarily have a bright one. And so while other teams are rebuilding, I feel like their rebuild might take a little bit longer, man. It's going to have to happen in the draft. And yeah, I guess the 16 or was it 17 game losing streak. They're definitely in first place right now. They keep it up, man. They're going to stand the best odds to get the first round pick. And then it's just going to so happen that a team like, I don't know. What's the team that gets lucky all the time, Lo?
I don't know. New York. You talking about picks?
Yeah.
It's protected, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Celtics have their pick.
Jesus. how many picks does Celtics? Celtics got everybody's pick?
I'm gonna double check while you talk about something else, but let me just double check real quick.
There was another case. Remember on the last podcast we talked about DeRozan and Kevin Love coming out. I believe it was Kelly Oubre came out talking about his experiences with mental health, and he was saying like his parents and his family used to always say like, "Yo, just keep it strong. Don't let people see your weakness." But he came out saying, like, yo, it's very challenging. Like, there's a lot of stress involved. And right when I saw it, I think it was immediately after we finished recording our last podcast, I was like, damn it, I wish I read this earlier because I think it would have been a great addition to the last podcast. And so I guess that domino effect of players openly talking about mental health is continuing. And I just thought it was dope. I hope if LeBron comes out and says something, Lo, which, by the way, would be pretty bad timing considering like everybody's kind of badgering him for free agency details. If like a star player, another star player comes out, it might just be like an avalanche of guys just speaking freely about their experiences. But and it's always interesting to read for me. I mean, I make YouTube videos, Lo, and I'm really stressed. I can't imagine what it's like for them where every day people get on TV, reporters get on their computers, and they're just writing about them and talking about them. And like, we just call Marc Gasol disappointing, and Marc Gasol might come across this, or a newspaper, or an internet article, and he's gonna have to read it, and he might disagree, he might agree, whatever the case is. It's a very stressful position. So it's, I guess, just for me, curious by contrast to read into some of their lives. A lot of people, like, especially in the public light, they don't like to open up like that. But I don't know if you missed it, Lo. You should read it. It was an interesting article.
Not trying to be mean, but it's Kelly Oubre, so I'm not going to read it. Yo,
that was mean, yo.
The Celtics have Memphis 2019 pick is top 8 protected, and then it rolls over to 2020. In 2020, is top 6 protected, and then in 2021, it's unprotected. So low key, they might actually get another top draft pick coming soon, which is crazy. Which is really, really crazy.
Celtics are one of the, if not the best managed team in the NBA.
I don't even know how they got that. I need to figure out how they got that pick.
You need to make a video. Well, that would be a dope video if you just made a video about how the Celtics finessed the entire league into giving them all their assets. That's a phenomenal title. I can give you that one to you. You could take that one, bro.
Thank you.
No problem, man. I'm great with titles. Yo, Lo, I'd like to get your opinion on something, man. So the Lakers were playing the Nuggets, and there was what I'll call a scruffuffle near the end of the game. Jamal Murray, the Canadian brethren from Kitchener.
Oh, you're talking about this clown. Yo, Jamal Murray, you're lucky you actually a solid player, not actually like you as a player. Yo, because Jamal Murray, you bugging. And the thing that really, really bothers me about Jamal Murray...
Wait, explain it to the people who didn't catch the game, because I didn't...
Everybody know what happened. This man, Jamal Murray, first of all, the first time they played, and I think it wasn't even the first time they played, it was just the first time they were in Denver, and the Lakers played the Nuggets in Denver. They won, and Jamal Murray came down the court and dribbled around Lonzo. It's kind of hard to explain what happened, but he literally, like, kind of dribbled down and threw the ball around Lonzo Ball, ran around Lonzo and went to go grab the ball. Really, he did something real extra, like something really, really extra.
Yeah.
So then the last time they played, which is last night, they went again, and they're in Utah. I mean, they're in Denver. And again, I don't think that he does this unless they're in Denver. And I know he doesn't do this to anybody else. It's not like they're like one of the worst teams in the NBA, and they're struggling to find wins. Not like they're winning games. And for whatever reason, he deems it necessary to be a sore winner. And he gets into, if I'm not mistaken, it was like a verbal back and forth with him and Lonzo. It really wasn't a back and forth. He just said something to Lonzo that was kind of like out of bounds. And it's like, yeah, y'all won. Like, cool. Like act like you know what winning feels like. Like, I understand coming up, he's trying to find his footing in the NBA. A lot of people slept on him. He's having a really solid year this year, putting up 16, 17 points on really solid, efficient numbers. Last year, he was a rookie, and people, again, slept on him. This year, he putting up solid numbers. I get that, and I applaud you, Jamal Murray. But, like, you know, if you're going to be doing stuff like that, bro, just do it to everybody. Like, try to put everybody on notice. Don't be, like, trying to pick on Lonzo. As if, like, Lonzo actually, he's doing it to, like, the one player in the NBA who doesn't really care.
Nah, but who was it? Lonzo said he wasn't gonna. He didn't want to give him the response that he was looking for. But at least what happened the other day, I don't know what happened before this. I don't even know there was a backstory to this. But Jamal Murray was trash talking, and then I guess Luke Walton also heard it, and Luke Walton had to be restrained by the referee because you know when you're with your boys and like somebody says something. And you know the guy is not really down to fight, but he makes it seem like he is. Like, yo, try and help me. Yo, you talking. It was one of those. You knew he wasn't going to try and fight.
Yo, thank you for saying that. Because Luke Walton definitely put some sauce on that. Luke Walton is not about to fight anyone, but he was definitely like, I'm not going to let you do this to my guy. But it was also one of those things like, I'm going to make a scene just so everyone on the team knows like I'm cool with y'all. But like Luke Walton really wasn't going to nothing. You know what I'm saying?
He's definitely a player's coach. Like, you know, some coaches like Stan Van are more authoritative.
He's a player. He's still a player. Like, he's like 38, 39, 40
years
old.
Yeah. It was funny because, I mean, we take Luke Walton right now and he's a coach, but I remember when Kobe was playing with him, he was meme city. People always meme Luke Walton for being a useless part of the Los Angeles Lakers. And he was just the starting small forward. And people were like, yo, Kobe needs more help. And Luke Walton was just there doing what a lot of people accused him of is nothing. But in that case, I guess he was standing up for his teammates. And he seems like a quote-unquote smart guy. Although the team's not doing too hot this year. Yo, Lou, I want to get your opinion on one more Laker issue.
Wait. One, the fact that Luke Walton, at any point in his time in the NBA, was labeled as a starter is crazy. So that's one. Two, if you're Jamal Murray, bro, go do that to Brandon Ingram. Because Brandon Ingram was drafted with Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray, for those who don't know, was drafted 7th by the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray, so far in his career, is playing just as well, if not better, than Buddy Hill. He's definitely playing better than Buddy Hill. Definitely. Chris Dunn, Dragan Bender, and then the other two that's debatable are Jaylen Brown and Brandon Ingram. So if you want to go like start some shenanigans like, yo, I'm better than y'all and I was 7th pick and no one doesn't talk about me because I'm in Denver, like, bro, go do it to the people who were drafted before you. You're doing it to a player.
But, I mean, I think you're being too critical of him. I mean, there's plenty of players in NBA history who've trash talked, and I think
that Lonzo. But why only Lonzo? I'm confused.
I think Lonzo, for plenty of reasons, is an easy target. But you know what was very ironic?
Then you a sucker then. I don't want to say what I really want to say, but you bugging then. Like, why are you picking on the easy target when you're actually a good player?
Did you see Lonzo's response? Lonzo said he didn't want to give him the reaction he wanted. That guy's a clown. And immediately the internet got to roast, and they're like, yo, your dad is the definition of a clown. And people were just going in on Lonzo because of his response.
That's different. Like, what is Lonzo going to do? He's going to talk about his dad? Like, come on. What type of stuff?
No, but it's just funny because when his dad's acting like a fool saying he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one, I think it's entertaining. I don't mind it. But a lot of people consider him a clown. So he comes around and he says, I don't want to give Jamal Murray the response he wanted. Obviously, Jamal was being a A1 troll in this situation. I think he did end up getting the response he wanted because the internet saw Lonzo's response and they saw the irony in it and they just went to attack. And so it wasn't even like it was a two-pronged hit, Lo. It was a two-hit combo. Jamal Murray with the right, and then the internet hit him with the left hook. And it was just a 1-2 right there. It was funny to see, honestly. But I kind of agree with Lon. But the internet is entertaining, right? Who cares? I mean, Gary Payton, Michael Jordan, they've both trash talked in the past.
Look, I had no problem with trash talk. You're still, I think you're missing the point I'm
saying. No, I see what you're saying. Why Lonzo?
But it's not really that. Like, bro, if you trash talk, that's cool. I just don't see, like, cause when Patrick Beverly did it in the beginning of the season, I understood what he was doing, right? I get that. I knew what he was trying to do, right? And on top of that, that's Patrick Beverly. Like, he does that to a lot of players.
Maybe he's trying to build that reputation. He wants to start off with Lonzo.
Why are you
that?
Starting with a rookie? Like, man, go do
because
that.
How do you get the most clout? You don't get clout from talking smack to, name me a player. Like, who?
But that's the best
Kemba
clout.
Walker?
Bro, that's the best clout. Like if you look, go back and know, like, Larry Bird shit talking. Larry Bird's trash talking, the best trash talk that he had wasn't against, like, some of the better players in the NBA.
People are rating trash talking on the internet.
I'm saying, it was against some random players. Like, you can't just go for the highest star. Like, sure, Larry Bird had his back and forth with Dr. J, and that's true. But some of Larry Bird's most iconic trash talking moments was against random players. Same thing with Michael. Same thing with Reggie Miller. He talked to Michael one time. But he was trash talking John Starks like every single playoff round. Like, so, like, why? Like, come, like, just chill out, bro. Like, go do what you need to do. Again, I would go harder on Jamal Murray, but he actually a really solid player, and I actually like him. He on the come up, so I'm gonna let him slide a little bit. But man, chill out, Jamal Murray.
Yeah, it was entertaining anyway. I forgot what other league. I forgot who they were playing, but there was a game in the last week, Lo. Where Isaiah Thomas single-handedly lost the game. Did you watch this game? Not only did he turn it over, but in the last play, he got stripped trying to go for the shot.
That was a Portland game.
Yeah.
Because we actually could have won that game. Yeah.
How do you feel about, like, you think he should even be getting minutes? I'm curious what Laker fans think.
I said, well, I'm not trying to sit here and speak for all Laker fans. One. Two, I said as soon as we got him, I thought that we should have waived him. And that's not really...
That would be kind of reckless. But
that's,
right.
not, but that's not really even a knock against Isaiah Thomas as a player. It's like, Isaiah Thomas, if you want to prove that you have some value in the NBA, I don't really think he's going to be able to provide enough evidence on a team that's more than likely not even going to make the playoffs. Like, if he actually wants to show people that he's still a really good player, he would have to have a little bit more months underneath his belt when it comes to him going to free agency, because really what he's about to start saying is, remember those 20 games I played for the Lakers? Like, that's not a big enough sample size for him to actually go get the money that he believes that he deserves. So,
yeah, it's...
So in my opinion, they should have just waived him. I think that actually, and they can still waive him. And I honestly believe that's the best option for him, because I don't think him being on a team that's trying to rebuild, coming off the bench, I mean, he's basically now become the player that people thought he should have become anyway, which is a bench player. But I don't think that's helping.
Okay, you're pushing OD right now.
I'm not saying he's a bench player, but what I'm saying is he's coming off the bench. That's something that many people were saying anyway. And so if you're coming off the bench for a team that's not even going to make the playoffs, you're basically, again, that's more evidence that people are saying that if you can't even start on the Lakers, or at least get more than 25 minutes of playing time on the Lakers, then I don't know where we're going to fit you on our roster. So for Isaiah Thomas himself, I would actually request to be waived. I mean, it's not like he's getting paid a lot of money. I think he's only getting paid like $5-7 million. So they can waive him. If I'm Isaiah Thomas, I would definitely request to be waived. And I can go sign to a team that's going to make the postseason. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I think it was like 4 or 5 podcasts ago, I was poking fun at MCW for his atrocious efficiency on the floor. I think it was against, was it, what, MCW, I think I watched that game. Yeah, I was. I was there at the Hornets game. That was the game I was sitting courtside. I looked at Waleed and I was like, Waleed doesn't know any of the players. He literally had to Google it. Literally the most undeserving person of courtside seats ever accompanied me at the game. It was crazy. He literally Googled DeRozan's face and was trying to match which one was DeRozan. It was ridiculous. So I pointed at MCW when I was at the game and I was like, yo, that guy is one of the worst players in the league. He's shooting almost the worst. I actually don't know if anyone is shooting worse percentages than this guy getting this many minutes. And then literally as I was saying that, I think remember when Dwight Howard was with the Lakers and he was going up with two hands for a standing dunk and then somebody swatted the ball, but they hit his hand. And so like his hand like flung back down even though his momentum was going up and he tore his shoulder and there was that whole injury. It wasn't like that, but there was definitely a moment where MCW was holding on to himself. And he continued to play, and it didn't seem like an issue. But apparently they're saying that he's out for the season. And not only did he finish this season playing around 60 minutes per game. I just want to outline one more time. Just because it's so horrible, he shot 33% from the field on 16 minutes.
I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at it right now, and I don't know how he's still in the NBA.
It's ridiculous. Now, I mean, the Hornets pretty much had no risk signing him. They signed him to a 1-year, $3 million deal, right? And so, whatever. He's not doing well. Just sit him on the bench at the end of the rotation.
I'll say this, and I'm not really trying to cut you off. I think you are risking it. I think you are putting people at a risk.
The only thing you risk is a rotation spot.
That's the problem. There's way too many players who are out of the NBA in the start of the season, or way too many players who are in the D League who jumped up from the D League into the NBA, the G League. Now in the NBA, who are performing great, but you're sitting here and you're giving a player who's 26, looking at 27 by the end of this year, another chance. It doesn't make any sense. And we already know his style of play doesn't work in the NBA. He's going to come off the bench. He's 6'6" player who can't shoot the three. He can't space the floor. Not a great finisher around the rim. You already know who MCW is. So why are you giving him another chance? But there's these other players that have been in and out of the G League, or Gerald Green didn't even have a job before the season started. So you're telling me that you decided to sign?
Oh, to be fair, he could have easily got a job playing basketball somewhere. He just wanted to play and won.
From my understanding, Gerald Green was turned down by multiple organizations. And he was attempting to get back.
Robert Sacre was in the league, Lo.
He was attempting to get back into the league, and the Rockets were really the only team that gave him an opportunity.
I'm not talking about the NBA, but I'm saying he could have went to the Chinese League, Euro League, Turkish League.
Michael Carter Williams go to the Chinese League then. Why are you giving him money? That's my whole point. Why are you giving Michael Carter Williams money? And there's a whole bunch of other teams out there. A whole bunch of other players that deserve a chance. I don't get that part. He's been in the NBA long enough for us to understand what's going on. And he shouldn't be in the conversation anymore to be one of the players that are giving an opportunity. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. On the note of opportunity, I don't know if you heard, Brandon Jennings got a 10-year
with the Bucks.
That'd be a 10-day deal with the Bucks. Yeah, with the Bucks. He just came. I think he's playing in the G League earlier. Which is interesting. Brandon Jennings is one of the players that skipped college to make money right away playing professionally.
And it ain't working out too well for him. I'll take that back. If he did it for money purposes, I guess he's fine.
He had a good career. I mean, way better than average. And was he an all-star at one point, or was he really close? He was an all-star, right?
I don't want to say he was one.
Alright, now I gotta check for the sake of the podcast. He was never
an all-star.
That is crazy. That's almost like Lou Williams never being an all-star, man. Wow.
Brandon Jennings. No, he was below average starter.
Yeah. This guy Lowe is ridiculous. He just looked at the numbers for 1 second and said, no, he did shoot horrible.
That's what I'm saying. I just noticed his shooting was bad throughout his entire career.
Yo, he averaged 38% He's
shooting below 40% in an era where it's actually set up for you to be successful from the field. That's crazy.
Jeez, I didn't know it was that bad. How did he get another chance? Damn.
That's a good question.
Like, why? Yeah, that's Lowe's cue to go.
If you're the Bucks, why are you waiting this late to sign someone like Brandon? Like, that doesn't, like stuff like that. That's the stuff I be thinking about sometimes. I be like, bro, like, how are some of these better teams constantly finding talent, but some of these trash organizations keep signing the same, like, 20 players? It's like, bro, we already done seen what these people can do. Like, why are you still signing them? Like, I don't get that.
The only exception would have been if Dallas Mavericks actually gave Iverson a chance. Like, say when he was like 38. I'd be like, yo, just give Iverson a chance, man. All right? I want to see him in the league one last time. But in these situations, I mean, I'm assuming he's been playing really well in the G League is why he's got this opportunity. And surprisingly, Lo, there's been a lot of players. And it might reach the point eventually, Lo, where a majority of the players in the NBA once played in the G League. Because it's, whether it's, like, I'm just thinking on the Raptors alone. Pascal Siakam, Van Fleet, DeLon Wright, Bruno Caboclo, Jakob Poeltl. Actually, I don't think Poeltl was ever on there. But it's like a lot of players, especially since teams are realizing statistically that you stand a better chance of developing your players if you have a G League team in your city so you can conveniently move people up and down. We talked like a couple podcasts ago about how many times the Raptors moved Caboclo. It must be a record because he's been moving like literally every other week. He was moved to the G League, then 2 weeks later back up to the team. But yeah, it's working, definitely. And everybody's catching on to the trend. Literally in the last 5 years, though, there's been a huge influx in teams in the NBA interested in getting a G League affiliate. And they've all been going out and doing that. And so the G League teams themselves have more talent now. And so the league as a whole, I'm assuming, is getting better CPMs, revenue. I don't know. It's getting me a little bit excited, Lo. A lot of people don't look at the G League as an actual option when it comes to watching basketball. But if you're living in the city and the ticket is like $8, you're like, yo, why wouldn't I go to this game? Especially because a couple of these players consistently play on they play for the Raptors, right? You go to a game, there's a couple guys there. They're not on the roster currently. But anyway, I just thought it was really cool. Shout out to the G League, man, or... Well, these called the D League, and they're getting brands for everything, Lo.
That's a fact.
We need to call our podcast the Pepsi Off Top Podcast. You know,
the Pepsi Off Top. We're gonna get in that bag. Jesus Christ,
you know, or something like that.
No.
The Panasonic Off Top Podcast.
Jesus Christ.
Oh man,
I guess a low key, yo. Even though we may talk about something else. The only reason why this man agent wanted to jump on the podcast because he wanted to talk about the Raptors.
No,
that's the reason why. That's the reason why.
Not true. Yo, Not true at all, man.
I love it though. You know what I'm saying? I feel it.
Lo, I told you, man. I'm very open to talking about a whole variety of topics, man. I mentioned that.
No, you're not. Kawhi apparently is set to return on Thursday.
I don't know about that.
No. It's breaking right now. Like it's on Twitter is
okay. I just thought you heard a rumor.
No, no, like it's on Twitter right now. Like people are talking about it. Okay. He's coming all back. Right. Woj just dropped it too. ESPN.
That means it's fact. Legitimate.
He said the San Antonio Spurs Kawhi Leonard could return as early as Thursday game against the New Orleans Pelicans. League tells me that bearing a setback Thursday versus the Pelicans is indeed the target return of Leonard to the lineup.
A target return as if he's working on something, which is in contradiction to what we've been hearing the doctors said about how he's available to play and he's technically cleared. But, I mean, if it's true and he stays healthy, it might take a second to readjust, but that's going to be the third seed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's enough, though. Obviously, I don't think.
Come on, man! Don't say that, bro. Come on, yo.
I mean, obviously, I don't think it's enough to compete. I don't think it's enough to compete with either one of them. To be honest with you, the Warriors or the.
I know they'll lose in the playoffs, but they'll make third seed.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I agree. I go back to favoring them to make the third seed if he's there. I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. But if not, if Dame keeps it, I don't know, bro. Like Dame, we might have to Dame.
Oh, come on, man. You don't think the Spurs, with Kawhi back, can just pass the Trailblazers? The Trailblazers, it's in the name, Lo. All right?
Oh, chill. Like, wow, this guy right here. They've been on fire, bro. Like, I got to give them their respect, bro. They've been playing great.
You can't stay on fire forever. Eventually, you got to cool down, right?
I guess. Yo, this is actually something funny I saw. So remember when, I think last podcast, we were talking about how the NBA warned the Chicago Bulls about not playing Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez.
Yeah.
So they got together and they were like, how are we going to tank but still play both of those players that we know for a fact gives us a better chance to win games? So against the Detroit Pistons, the first quarter against the Pistons, right? They played Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday all 12 minutes of the first quarter. And from that moment on, they never saw the court again.
How mad would you be if you're one of those players, man?
Not only that, they ended the quarter with a 5-point lead. And I'm telling you right now, this man Fred Hoiberg must have got some type of call from Gar Foreman. Was like, yo, I don't care what the league is telling you, pulling them players out right now because we trying to tank. Like, we losing. Like, there's no way we not by here and keep winning these games. They played them for 12 minutes and then literally pulled them for the rest of the game, bro. That's tough.
First of all, I guess it's great for the player's stock. I mean, you just get in the game, automatically you're doing well, and then you leave and the team just falls apart. But it's bad for the coach. I mean, just the stuff like the coach's record. In general, when you're a coach on a losing team, your job is on the line, right? There's not many coaches that can stand losing years and continue to hold that job for too long. I can only name a handful that have been able to do that. People, for whatever reason, management always thinks the coach is the issue and they're firing people left and right. And so I guess it hurts the coach's position. But yeah, I mean, they're pretty blatant with it then, huh? They said the first quarter and that's it. After that, you guys are not playing anymore. They don't care. I guess to a certain extent, what's the NBA going to do, Lo?
They're going to find them. I guess find them.
How? What do you say when you're finding them? They're playing the players you told them to play.
Oh, well, yeah. When you do that, then the NBA can't really do nothing because they weren't specific on how many minutes they had to play.
Yeah. The NBA is going to put out a statement. Yep, they got to play at least 13 minutes per game. And then they put him in for an extra minute.
Literally going to play them for the first 12 minutes and then the last minute of the game, and that's 13.
Nah, you wouldn't put them in the last minute of the game because they might chalk a comeback. Phenomenal.
By that time, they've already, the lead is so ridiculous that no, they're not going to come back. Yo, how long do I have to wait before I say that Zach LaVine isn't that good of a player?
I'd wait till like mid next season.
Okay. All right, because I'm looking at his numbers right now, and they're looking kind of sus.
But you mean to say for you want the boilerplate response low, or do you have it handled?
I know people are gonna say he came back from an injury and he's on a new team, mm-hmm. Yeah, all that stuff. So that's the reason I'm asking. Like, how long do I have to wait before I say, like, he's just not the same player that people thought he was? Also, as a side note, Lauri Markkanen earlier this year, he broke the record, or he was like the first player, or he's the fastest player in NBA history as a rookie to get to like 100 three-pointers made or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, Donovan Mitchell is now the fastest player to 150 three-pointers.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's the fastest player to 150 three-pointers. I say all of that to say, for the people out there who keep bringing up these three-point records, especially for the rookies, settle down, okay? When you talk about, like, rookies setting three-point records, it's very similar to, like, to artists setting streaming records, right? Like, in, like, 30, 40, 50 years ago, no one wasn't counting. Streaming didn't exist. And then over the last 10 years, people didn't know how to understand how to profit off of streaming and how to count streaming. And now all of a sudden you have all these artists who are like, oh my God, I broke this streaming record or this streaming record. Like Drake breaking a Apple streaming record, even though they just start counting streaming numbers over the last two or three years. Like,
that was the best analogy I ever heard.
We just start recognizing streaming over the last like 3 or 4 years, and people really didn't understand how to monopolize and manipulate it because people are really starting to do that.
Monopolize. Yet again, another podcast where Lo makes up a word, man.
Monopolize. Yeah, monopolize.
Monopolize. Jesus.
Yo, they but you, people didn't understand how to like how, they didn't know how to count the metric and measure it and make the profit off of it. The same thing is going on with three pointers. Yeah. Three pointers didn't exist in the 70s, people, and beyond that. And throughout the 80s through the 2000s, people really didn't understand how to fully recognize the three pointer and monopolize off it, right? Head ass. People.
Yep. Good one.
People didn't necessarily know how to construct their offense around three pointers the way that they're doing now. So 3-point records are going to be broken nearly every single year. So settle down. Settle down, everyone. Cause Donovan Mitchell.
Not you kind of pushed it.
Don.
It takes a lot.
Oh, it does. Let me be clear. It takes a lot. But like Donovan Mitchell wasn't even starting in the beginning of the season, has started to receive a little bit more minutes, obviously as the season has progressed, and he's already passed Lauri Markkanen. Already passed him. So like, everybody just chill out for a second with the 3-point records, bro. Like,
also, the Bulls are trying to combust, so that might have played a factor as well. Like, they don't really want any players
he's one of those rookies who slowed down as the year continues to progress. Rightfully so. I mean, you're a rookie. You're going to hit that rookie wall, and I get that. But he's not, like, him and Tatum really slowed down as the season kept going on, and that's really what happened. Because if I'm not mistaken, and I'm looking at it right now, over the last 17 games, I don't know why I stopped at 17 games. Let me go 20. Well, I'll say this. Over the last 17 games, Markkanen is shooting 25% from behind the arc. So he's getting worse.
Yeah. Jeez.
So like, again, like I'm saying, like that was the beginning of the season. He slowed down. Other players who are shooting threes are now catching him. And those records are going to continue to be broken just because people weren't really counting three pointers or looking at stats like that throughout NBA history until now. So chill out, people.
It's more so just there's more volume of three-point shots being taken now than in the past, right?
True, but just chill out. Yo, Carmelo, low-key, we in this podcast, I know.
I don't want to talk about Carmelo.
All right, go ahead. You got it.
No, I said I don't want to talk about
that. Okay. We'll move on to something else then. Because I was about to say something, but we got it.
Yeah,
I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. You know, you got it. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Definitely dead. Yeah, he's gone. Long gone.
Yeah, you're right.
Yo, look, I want to end the podcast right here, man. We haven't done the highlight play. Did we do it last week?
Yeah, we did. What?
Oh, okay. I remember. I gave Rudy Gobert. Okay, it's only been a couple days since, man. We're going to need another highlight player from you, Lo.
Jesus, man. I got to get. This is low-key. The podcast is ending like a little over an hour, and we literally spent like nearly half of the episode on the Raptors. You just want to do a podcast.
Yes, they're a great team, man. What can I say, man?
You're like, we don't get enough. Oh, I'll say this. Well, I'll give the highlight player / team to the Raptors. So you can't do it. I think it was someone allegedly. I was illegally streaming a Raptor game, allegedly.
So you didn't really do it?
Yeah, allegedly. And one of the, I guess he was a broadcaster, he said something along the lines of that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, which I'm looking at right now, and it is true. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have actually played fewer minutes. They've actually taken a step back minutes per game-wise. However, their PER has increased over the last year, since the last year.
Indeed it has. And more than that, Lo, an interesting stat. The Raptors have the third most wins in the playoffs in the last 3 years. So that team you guys keep saying, choking in the playoffs, numbers don't back it up, man.
I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. DeMar PER hasn't increased, but Kyle Lowry's PER has increased. So
Kyle Lowry's a more streaky player. DeRozan's a lot more consistent.
I guess. All I know is, they playing good. Obviously, this has been the Toronto Raptors podcast. And I think Kyle Lowry.
Do you want to do that, Lo? Do you want to just transition to a focus, only ever talk about the Raptors podcast?
Trust me, because if the Raptors lose in the postseason on some ridiculous stuff, you know you'll never hear the end of it.
Oh yeah, you're getting dedicated.
Exactly, you'll never hear the end of it. But yeah, I'll give this though to a specific player. Shout out to Kyle Lowry because people love to give a lot of hype and praise to DeMar recently. Not saying everyone, but I've seen a lot more of it. Kyle Lowry over the last 24 games since he's been back, he suffered an injury a little bit in middle of January. Since he's been back, though, last 24 games, 17 points, 6 rebound, I mean 6 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, only 2 turnovers, actually less than 2 turnovers, shooting 42 to 43% from the field, 40% from behind the arc, and 79% from the free throw line.
Jeez.
That's definitely what they needed. Like, not even, no joke, that's what the Raptors needed from Kyle Lowry and the rest of the team.
Indeed, I agree. I'm going to give my highlight player is to Charles Barkley himself, man. So for being the first person on TNT squad.
Let this be known that this is the second podcast in a row where you've given the goddamn player of the week award, a highlight player, to players that are retired.
Okay, well, he said the Raptors were the best team in the East, and he said he believed in us when no one else did, man. On a side note, though, shout out to Bryn Forbes. I was watching him a lot in the summer league, and he's just recently started to get minutes playing for the Spurs, and he's doing all right, not shooting the best percentages, but I feel very bullish on him. I think he has the potential to be great in this league. Maybe I'm pushing it with great. I think he could be like an 85 overall, like a really solid player. So it was cool he's finally getting a chance to see that into fruition. Hopefully he takes advantage of the opportunity. But if you want me to give you a real player, low, Bryn Forbes for the Spurs.
I guess so. I guess.
You guess? It's a player, low. How you guess? It's, yeah, okay, I agree, face. 100%.
Shout out to everybody who listens to the podcast, as always. I see a lot of people, more people actually enjoying the podcast on my channel, leaving comments, and also people on Twitter. So shout out to you all. Make sure you follow both.
Make sure to DM Lowe, telling him. You don't even need me to tell you.
You actually wasn't that crazy today because we talked about the Raptors, and you know way more about the Raptors than anyone else. However, I have been getting people,
of course,
telling me in my DMs that they want to hear your top 10 list of all time.
Nobody said that. You're just making
I'm so serious. I'm so serious. I'm not even lying. I've definitely heard people keep asking me to keep pressuring you about that top 10 list.
Why are people so crazy about a top 10, like, all time? Yeah.
I mean, I guess because you haven't done both, so I guess it would be both.
No, I've definitely done a top 10 list in the NBA now. That's easy.
No, you have not.
I have done that, Lo. What are you talking about, man?
Then do it right now, then.
I don't have it saved. I mean, I could give you top 5, but after that, there's going to be
Don't even put it in order. Just do top 10.
No, but you have to put it in order to see who gets snubbed.
I mean, I'll figure out what the order is, and we can kind of piece it together.
All right, you got to... I'll do it. You
just
know what?
Just name the 10, agent. Name the 10. Stop beating around the bush. Name the 10.
Lo, I want to be. I don't want to miss a player. Watch this podcast back.
I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you out.
I need your help, Lo? This is
you don't want to miss no player. I'm going to make sure.
This is my top player list. This is my list, bro. You can't help me out.
I'm going to make sure you don't like forget a name. So just give me the 10.
Nah, yo, I can do this in like 2 minutes.
Because you haven't done it yet.
I don't have a list saved. Like, I don't have a shit printed out and framed on my wall. Agent, you're right.
Whenever you did the list and where we are right now, it wasn't that big of a change. So stop acting like
I'm out of nowhere. Like, the massive changes.
So your top 10 list is massive changes.
There's been insane changes to the list.
So give me the list then.
But I'm just saying, like, there's been so much changes in the NBA. Like, we're going to have to get to a next podcast. Sound like a plan, man.
No, we don't. Yo, we're not even an hour and 30. You can do it right now.
No, I'm telling you, bro. The people want to see it on the next podcast.
All right, fine. We'll do it in the next podcast.
Yep.
But you better have that list ready.
Yeah. And I need to see that. It's going to be so ready, Lo. In fact, you better have your list ready. And you know I'm going to critique you, right?
You know what's crazy? For the people out there who's wondering, I'm actually making my top 100 list right now of all time.
Come on, you're wild and doing 100 though. Come on, man. Yo, you're wild.
I'm at least making my top 50 list of all time.
You know what you're doing when you do that, right? You're gonna open yourself up to criticism, bro. People can be like, "How's that guy at number 30, but this guy's at 42? This makes no sense."
I don't care. What?
No, I'm just telling you the criticism you're gonna receive for having an opinion.
And you think I care?
Yes, you do. Everybody cares about
I made an entire video saying that Reggie Miller is overrated and people were disagreeing.
That's just one player, bro. Trust me. If you put a player lower or higher than what other people think a player deserve, they're going to come at you. And you have a whole 100. And they'd be like, yo, how did this one player should have been like 70 not make the top? I'm just saying, Lo, like, you gotta... I know you think you know everything there is to know about basketball, my guy, but you are not about to make a top 100 all-time list without receiving the craziest of criticisms, because as we mentioned on the podcast, there's no way to unilaterally rank people across eras. It just doesn't make sense.
To be honest with you, from the list that I've put out, and I've previewed a few lists, I guess this will be kind of like our after-hour podcast, because we low-key just going on, we still talking. I've made a list before, and I've kind of previewed a few things here and there. And for the, like, I've never really had anyone, like, definitively say, like, oh, that list is trash.
I've seen
a few people who've been like, one or two things here and there are like, you know, I'm not really feeling that. But for the most part, they enjoy it.
Release that list. I guarantee you there's going to be at least 20% of people that see that shit gonna be like, this shit is garbage.
Not 20%. At least not on my timeline, no. Not 20%.
No, 20%. If the video blows up and it gets like 300,000 views, there's gonna be a lot of guys who don't know you that are gonna see it. And they don't know that you know anything about basketball. It's gonna be like, yo, you got this list wrong because I disagree with this part of the list. Like, we did that with Sports Illustrated.
20% though? 20%?
Right? Sports Illustrated, ESPN both had horrible lists. And that's just this year. That's not even all time. Imagine if those guys made an all-time list. Jeez, man.
I don't think 20% would disagree. Again, I think there'll be a few people who be like, I'm not really feeling this one there or that one here. But for the most part, I think people would be like, everyone is in the general vicinity of where they should be. And I think that's what people would say.
So who's your top 10 of all time?
I don't really want to give it away. I don't want to.
See, low people been hitting me in my because you want to.
Yeah, really. I don't really want to give it away.
Yeah, okay, I don't want to spoil it. I was gonna be like, I was gonna tell you all about the DMs, but all right. Yeah, you're right. I'd rather save it.
But right now you've had enough time to think about your top 10 list. Right,
that's
now.
Not so what I was doing when I was having this conversation. I was listening to. I'm a good podcast.
Yeah, let me help you out. So LeBron, where's LeBron?
I don't need your help. Lo, you gotta understand.
Where's LeBron at?
I'm a good co-host. I pay attention when you're talking. I'm not doing other stuff, man. You see what I'm saying?
I just need to know where LeBron. I'll say this about my list, my top 100 list, not to give too much away. LeBron is definitely top three now.
Jesus,
LeBron is definitely,
man,
top three all time.
I don't even know what my list is yet, but I know for a fact that's not gonna be. He's not gonna be top three on my list, man. Come on,
he should be top three all time.
If he gets another championship, I'll put him top three.
If he get another championship, he's definitely the second greatest player of all time.
You're crazy now. All right, I'm gonna leave.
No, because I don't really know why wouldn't he not pass the player that I have at number two.
Your love of the outdoors led you to buy a fishing boat. And your love of your boat led you to turn a day on the water into a four-day trip, which led you to a record-breaking trout and a bubbling lava-hot sunburn, which led you to a new respect for proper sun care technique. Fortunately, your love of your fishing boat also led you to protect it with Progressive Boat Insurance, which you got indoors because of that sunburn. Ouch. I want to put some aloe on that. Visit Progressive.com to cover the things you love. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.